Corinthians chapter 15, 1 Corinthians chapter 15, pretty familiar passage of Scripture, and we'll look at that tonight, and love this portion of Scripture. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, we'll get there in just a moment, we'll begin in verse 51, but as you study your Bible and you look back in the Old Testament, there's one thing that's pretty prominent in the Old Testament, and I would say that it is fighting and wars, that the people of God had to fight all through the Old Testament. Matter of fact, we see them going into captivity. We see them coming out of captivity. We see Jerusalem torn down, the temple torn down. We see all these wars and fightings that are in the Old Testament. But one thing happens when you get into the book of Matthew. You don't see wars and you don't see fighting except for one war, and that was for the war of the soul of men. And that was Jesus fought that battle at Calvary, and guess what? He won. And when Jesus won at Calvary, there was no more fighting that war. There was no more fighting that battle. And I just want to just encourage you tonight, we'll preach on this subject of living in victory. Living in victory. And so as I think about a lot of Christians and I think about myself, there's too many times that Christians are looking for victory instead of living in victory. Let me say that again. Too many Christians are looking for victory instead of living in victory. By the way, you don't have to look for victory. It's already been won. Victory in Jesus, my Savior. We sung it earlier. A lot of people are looking, maybe you want victory over some things in your life. I'm not talking about that. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but I'm talking about living in victory of eternity and sin. You've already won that battle through the Lord Jesus Christ. When you put your faith and trust in Christ, and 1 John chapter 5 tells us that, and we'll see that here in a little bit, but 1 John chapter 5 tells us that when you put your faith in Jesus Christ, you've overcome the world through Jesus Christ, through the victory that Jesus has given you. Now, Christian, I want to say to us is that we need to live in the realm of victory. Too many times we live in the realm of defeat, don't we? Hello, go ahead and point the finger at you because I'm pointing it at me. But look at what he says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 51. And we'll start here and read the whole story. He says, "Behold, I show you a mystery. The Lord knows this one. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed." Hallelujah. I like that. That means some of us may not have to die a physical death, so to speak. I'm okay with that. Aren't you? I was excited about it. But if you want to die, go right ahead. I'll rapture out of here. In a moment, in a twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, the trump shall sound. I like that. It's not maybe it's going to, but it's going to. It shall sound. And the dead shall be raised. I love that. And shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible, talking about the flesh, when this corruptible shall, I like that word shalls there again, have put on incorruption, this mortal shall have put on immortality. Then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written. Now we're referring back to Isaiah, because Isaiah said this very same statement. He said, "Death is swallowed up in victory." Hallelujah. It's swallowed up in victory. In other words, death was predominant. Death was the common denominator in men's life until Jesus came and died on the cross and shed His blood. And now when we put our faith in Jesus Christ, death is swallowed up. I like what it says here. He says, "O death," it's kind of taunting really. "Death, where's thy sting?" You take a bumblebee and you pull that stinger out, that bumblebee is no good anymore. He is no longer a threat. Matter of fact, you pull that stinger, not that we ever did this as kids, but you pull that stinger out of a bumblebee and you just let him go. He doesn't last long, he dies. And that's what Jesus did for all mankind. "Oh, death, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, the strength of sin is the law." But, here it is, "but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ." He said that through Jesus Christ that we, here tonight, those who are believers, have victory. Now, I believe this, is that you can choose to live in that realm of victory. I'm not saying you can lose your salvation, but I'm saying in your way of thinking, you ought to live saying, "Hey, I'm a conqueror, I'm an overcomer because of Jesus Christ." Too many times we pout and whine about the Christian life. I'm gonna own up to this one. Me and Joshua, we were working in the back this week, and me and Joshua were on the golf cart, and I said, "Man, this thing is super slow." It was. It was like, and Joshua looks at me and says, "Well, at least it was free." I said, "Shut your mouth, intern. Get back in the church." And I said, "Yep, that's hallelujah. It was free, right? It didn't cost us anything. I'm not complaining." You know, sometimes we forget to look at the facade. We look at the facade of things and say, "Well, it's not this, it's not this," but we forget what it is. We forget that I'm not having to walk from here to the back of the property. I'm in a vehicle that's carrying me there. It's carrying our tools with us there. And sometimes as a Christian, we can live outside of the realm of victory. Sometimes we can live in that defeated shadow that Satan wants us to live in. And by the way, Satan beckons us out of the shadows of victory, doesn't he? Now, he can't take away our salvation. I'm not talking about that tonight. I know once you're saved, you're always saved. That's biblical. He saved us with an everlasting, but I'm saying in the mindset of victory, Satan wants to lure us out of there and say, "Hey, why don't you go over here in the doubt realms? Hey, why don't you go over here in the discouragement realms?" And trust me, I've taken up residence there before. It's not a great place to live. We are not looking to win, but we're looking to the end. By the way, I'm not looking to win anything. I've already won. The song we sing, "I'm on the winning side." You know, I played baseball, I played football, and every team I ever played on, that was the two main sports I played growing up, and every team I played on was always a losing team. I hated it. The team that came behind me and the team before me were all winners. But every year it seemed like, it wasn't me, I know it wasn't. I was a star athlete, trust me. I was good at squirting water and all. But, you know, I held my place on the line. Sometimes I got ran over, sometimes I went the other way. But here's the thing is that God's not asking us to come out and fight for our victory. We trust Christ for that victory. And we live in the light of that victory by living with Christ and living through Christ, that He has conquered death and hell and the grave for us. We should live in the mindset that, hey, I have overcome the world through Jesus Christ. I am not a defeated person, but if you look around, it looks like there's a lot of people defeated in this world today. Some of the saddest people you'll ever meet are Christian people. I believe that in life, I believe you're going to have battles, you're going to have trials, but I want to remind you that ultimately you have the victory through Jesus Christ. I'm on the winning side. Yes, I'm on the winning side. God's not asking you. But matter of fact, it would be great if you could join a team that never had to play a game, you just had to show up and you won. Hey, we won. We're already on the team. We can't even get off the team. That's what's good about it, amen? I'm on the winning team for once in my life. John 16:33 says this, "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world you shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer." Hello, Christian. Be of good cheer. I have overcome the world. In other words, Jesus is saying through John, he's saying, "Christian, why in the world are you so sad? Christian, why have you lost your joy? You're on the winning side. I've overcome the foe. I've overcome sin. I've overcome death for you." "Well, I know you did all that for me, but whatever put behind there. There's just, I'm telling you, I've lived on that side and I'm not saying that I'm perfect when it comes to saying never complain because I've lived on that side and every now and then I go back over there and visit, you know, some family members that are over there. But I'll tell you what, some of the greatest days of my life are whenever I live in the light of victory with Christ. And in mindset of saying, you know what, Christ is my victory. By the way, a lot of people want personal victories over different things in their life through their own strength. By the way, personal victories don't come through your strength either. You can try to quit smoking, you can try drinking, cussing, telling lies, and anything else you can think of, but I'm going to tell you what, you try it in your own strength, you'll go right back to it. You'll go right back to it. You may quit for a week. You may quit for a month. You may quit for a year. You say, you know what, I'm not going to say one negative thing about anybody. It'll last a day. until you're around that one person that just nags you the wrong way. And then here it goes. Can I say, as Christians, we ought to live every day in the light of victory of Jesus Christ. And our thought processes, our lives ought to be that. By the way, you can get victory every day over sin. Every day you can get victory over your flesh. Your greatest enemy is not your neighbor sitting next to you. Your greatest enemy is you. Your greatest enemy is we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but principality. It's this wickedness of this world that is put on by Satan himself. That is our enemy. But can I remind you, Satan can do all he wants, but when the battle's over, I shall wear a crown. I've already won. Now, saying that, I don't want to get to heaven by the hair of my chinny chin chin. I'm not, you know what I'm saying, I know I'm going to get there, but I'm saying I don't want to get there and not have any crowns to cast at my Savior's feet. I don't want to get there and say, well, Lord, you saved me and I didn't do anything in this life for you. I didn't work for you. But I want to get there and I want to hear him say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I want to try my hardest. I want to live in the place of victory. I'm tired of living in the place of defeat. I'm tired of Satan getting the upper arm on me, the upper hand on me. I'm tired of myself giving into my flesh. I'm tired of living in the light, in the shadows of victory. I want to live in the very light of victory. I want to live right where God wants me. Oh, victory, where is thy sting? Oh, grave, where is thy death? Notice we said death is swallowed up in victory. But he said in verse 57, but thanks be to God which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Christ did for you. He gave you the victory. He said, here you go. Wouldn't that be nice if you were going to go to the dentist tomorrow? And you walked into the dentist. I hate a dentist. I'd rather go to the doctor's office twice than I would the dentist once. Go in there and they say, Mr. Wiggins, got you all fixed up. Really, I never even went back there. It just happened, sir. You got perfect teeth. I'd throw my hands up and I'd pay whatever I needed to. Amen? Wouldn't it be nice if you walked in and you already had the procedure done? Hallelujah. That'd be nice, wouldn't it? But I don't know about you. I don't like sitting in that chair. And I don't like to hear them lie to me saying, no, this is just going to be a little pinch. It's not. It's going to hurt. It's going to hurt forever. And you shouldn't feel anything. You're lying. I'm going to feel it. I'm going to hear it. I'm going to smell it. You're going to pop it in my eye, even though I got those goggles on. It's going to be bad, but I want to go and see. Sometimes when we think about, matter of fact, let me back up and say this, is that the reason we're here in America today is because the wars that have already been fought for us. We didn't have to do anything. We just have to live in the liberty that has been granted to us through those who fought for us. And those who are treated poorly today, by the way, just a little additive. Our soldiers ought to be highly, highly, highly honored in our society today. But I want to tell you, we're living in the light of liberty. We're living in the light of victory because of the wars that our forefathers fought for us. I'm glad that they came from England over here and gave us this great country. I'm glad I'm living in the light of that victory that had already happened. I'm glad we're living in the land of liberty. I'm glad we're living in a land where we can say, hey, I'm a Baptist. And they say, okay. Or, oh my goodness. Whatever they say about us. But you know what? I can be whatever I want to be. I can be a Baptist. I can be a Methodist. Why? Because there's no state church yet. I said yet. But we have that liberty today. As a child of God, we should occupy the place of victory. By the way, you know what's amazing when you study the children of Israel? And we did this, we're doing this in Sunday school, is that in the book of Deuteronomy, God tells them, he says, I'm giving you the land that I promised to your father Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now, this generation didn't know Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob personally, right? They didn't know them personally. But because God had promised before time to give Abraham a land that they could possess and a land that his people could come. Hey, listen, here's what happened is God said, I want you to possess that land. And they whined and complained. Instead of an 11-day journey, it took them 40 years because of unbelief. The land was already theirs. It was already had their name on the deed. All they had to do was go in and possess the land. The victory was already won. And we always sing the song, Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. He didn't fight no battle. God did it for him because God had told him way back when, I'll go for you and I'll fight for you. And so as a Christian today, living in the New Testament era, in the grace era, is that here's what God said for you, is that you occupy the land that I've given to you. That's the land of His will. You occupy the place of victory and I'll be with you. Amen. That's where I want to be. Verse 58. He says, therefore, my beloved brethren, he's talking to Christians, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Notice what he told them to do after he told them about this resurrection, about heaven, about a victory. He says, here on this earth, here's what I want you to do. I want you to be steadfast. I want you to be unmovable. I want you to always abound in the work of the Lord. How can I do that? How can I abound in the work of the Lord? How can I stay steadfast? How can I be unmovable? By living in the light of victory, in the place of victory that Christ has already given you. He just wants you to occupy the land. Occupy till I come. I want you to notice some things about the place of victory in our life. Number one, it's about assurance. It's about assurance. By the way, verses 54 and 55 and 56 say that there's a sting of death. If you're not sure the stinger of death has been taken out, you're going to live in the light of doubt all your life. I was thinking about Miss Riley. I was thinking about her getting saved this past Wednesday or past week, past Tuesday, whatever night it was. And man, she come up to me and she was crying. I avoided her because when women are crying, it's usually not good. Amen, brother? Amen, men? You nod your heads, okay. So I seen her crying. I was like, where's my wife at? Riley needs it. Well, she chased me. And we were going around like this, and I was trying to avoid her because I didn't know what was going on. She said, Brother Wiggins, I got saved. And I started crying. Why do people have to cry? It makes me cry. It makes me cry thinking about it. I was like, praise the Lord. Amen. Gave her that little hug and said, that took a lot of courage. And hallelujah. And she said, boy, I feel a difference already. I feel like the world's lifted off of me. You know what happened to Riley? The stinger of death had been pulled out. The strength of sin had been pulled out of her life. And all of a sudden, Christ saved her. But, I mean, you can ask her this, and I know she wouldn't mind. She said she was having trouble sleeping at night because she was thinking about eternity. Doubting her salvation and knowing in her heart that she probably was not saved and all these things. She said, I was having trouble sleeping. She said, I couldn't even hardly eat for the last couple days, which is pretty common with the Spivey family. But if the Crawford and Wiggins family ever quit eating, it's bad. I mean, it's real bad. But that's what Riley was saying. She said, I was having trouble eating. You know why? Because she was not living in the place of eternal victory. There was no assurance there. When you don't have assurance, don't you hate whenever you go somewhere and you're not sure if you are where you're supposed to be? I hate that feeling. And you double check and you check and you're like, I'm not sure if this is the right place. And you know. And then you walk in there and I love when they say, are you Mr. Wiggins? Oh, yes, I love that. Or whenever they look at their book and say, no, I don't have a Wiggins down for the day. I'm like, uh-oh, is this not such as us? They're like, no. Oh, but I like it whenever I have a ticket in my hand that says, Michael Wiggins, passenger, United Flight 1602, seat 22B. I know I'm on the flight. I have that assurance. But sometimes I used to fly standby. We hated those, don't we? You didn't know if you was going to get on the plane or not. I used to fly, my cousin flies for Delta. And I get tickets from him, and it was great because sometimes you get in first class, but sometimes you wouldn't even get on the plane. And I'd sit out there, and especially, I usually wouldn't use them if I had to be somewhere at a certain time. But if I had a little leadway, it wasn't a big deal. But there was a few times I flew because it was an emergency situation, and it was cheaper to use that. And so I did not know if I was going to get on the plane. You know what? You're a nervous wreck, aren't you? You're looking at your clock. You're thinking, I'm not going to make it. But I don't know about you, but I love having that ticket in my hand that says, Michael Wiggins, you have a seat on this plane. And this is where you're going to sit. By the way, assurance of your salvation. You ought to know that you're saved. 1 John chapter 5 tells us that you can know. Matter of fact, study the book of 1 John. 1 John, I believe, is 21 times the word know is in there. Know. You ought to know that you're saved. You ought to have that assurance in your life. If you're going to live in the place of victory, you better have assurance of your salvation. Number two, we see it's about abounding. He said in verse 58, he said, always, always. He didn't say that if you feel like it. He said, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Doing what God wants you to do, where God wants you to be, that is the place of victory. Hey, you don't choose your destiny, no matter what the world says. Well, you choose your own. No, you fall into where God's will is. God has a plan for your life. The plan that you have for your life, it's not going to work out. Some people have so much trouble in life because God's called them to do something else, and they're fighting against that, and they're over here and wondering, why in the world am I miserable? It's because you're not in the place of victory. The children of Israel wonder, why are we so miserable in this wilderness for 40 years? It's because you wasn't in the promised land. Why are we over here in the dust-covered desert? Why are we not over here where the grapes are in clusters big enough that two men have to carry them on a stave? Why are we not over there with the land of milk and honey? It's because you've not occupied the land of victory yet. You're still over here in whiny country. Amen. There was a lot of wine in the desert. Whining, whining, whining. But it's about abounding. I looked up the word abounding because I'm not that smart. And it said this, to remain, to exceed, to be left unmovable, to stand firm. My friends, can I remind us? He said unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. We want to live in the place of victory in our life. In personal victory over sin and over our flesh and all the things that we deal with on a daily basis. I'm not talking about eternity on this. I'm talking about we ought to live in the place of abounding in the work of the Lord. By the way, if you're in the work of the Lord, you've already got the assurance settled. You say, okay, I know I'm saved, but now I'm going to abound in Jesus Christ. By the way, the safest place you can ever be is in Christ and near Christ. As a child, my grandfather used to love to take me fishing. Now, we fished a little different in Florida because we had smaller fish there. My grandfather and my grandmother both fish, and I would go with them pretty regularly, and we fished with cane poles. Anybody remember the old cane poles? My grandfather used to cut cane down, and he'd take a block and he'd tie it on the end of that old cane pole, and he'd straighten it out. And then he'd take it into his shed, and he'd lacquer it. He'd spray that lacquer, or brush it on there, not spray, that was too fancy. But he'd brush that old lacquer on there, and that thing be just gleaming. He put a little eye here and a little thing to wrap. It was fancy. He put a little thing to put your fishing line around. And then you just, when you got there, you'd unwind it, and you just toss it out there with that cork, and we caught what y'all call here a perch. We carry those perch back home. My grandmother popped the eyeballs out, gut them, and fry them whole. And you just ate. You just ate the whole thing. My grandmother would eat the tail, the fins. She was like a ninja coming to eat those things. But I will tell you that as a kid, my grandparents weren't rich people. The boats my grandfather had were not that big and not that stable. Whenever I was fishing with my grandparents, I was always had one hand on my grandfather's knee because you didn't know what the boat was going to do. I felt like, to me, my grandfather was a pretty good-sized guy. He was a pretty tall guy and pretty stout guy. But when we was in that boat, I sat on an ice chest, of course. Michael, will you get us a drink? Sure. You know, that was me. But I'd slide that ice chest up against my grandfather and make sure that I could be right there in case that boat started doing this. Because that's where I felt safe at. Well, I don't know about you, but as a Christian, I want to be as close to Christ as I can. I want to read His Word. I want to pray. I want to spend time with Him. Why? Because I want to be a place of victory. And the place of victory is abounding in Christ, in the work of Christ. Staying where God wants us. The third thing, and I'm done tonight, it is about armor. Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 18. You know this. You know the armor. Hey, if you're going to stand in victory, you got to armor up. You got to put on all the armor from the head to the shodding of your feet with the preparation of the gospel. And the last thing, prayer. And that when you stand in this armor, it is a defense against the wiles of the devil. And Jesus said this in Ephesians chapter 6. He said, whenever you've done all, He said, stand. Where am I standing at? I'm standing in victory. But I want to tell you what, too many Christians are defeated because they're like, well, I'll put on the helmet of salvation, but I'm not putting on the girdle of the belt of truth. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to have my loins girt about with truth. I'm not going to do that today. I'll leave that one off because it makes me look fat. Yeah, you go out there and the devil knows right where your armor is not. And he's like a heat-seeking missile. And he'll find exactly where you're vulnerable at. I told y'all this story before, but I'm going to tell it again. I hope some of you have amnesia. But when I was a firefighter, they give you all this garb. I mean, you got turnout pants, you got boots, they have metal plates on them so you don't step on none. You got your coat, you got your everything. You got a helmet, you got a hoodie, that's what we call it. Have a hoodie, and gloves, they give you everything you need to protect yourself in a house fire. Check. I had not been in the fire department too long, and I got excited one day. We got a call, and it was a house fire fully involved. I mean, my heart was 90 miles. I was so excited. I hate it for the people losing the house, but I was excited as a firefighter to be able to put my hand on the end of that hose. And they said, Wiggins, get on the end. You're on the hose. Hallelujah. I got on the end of that hose, and the guy that's the chief of the fire department now was behind me. He said, I got you back. I said, thank you, buddy. We went in that house, and yeah, it was coming over us like this, just like you see in the movies. I opened that hose up and we were spraying that fire, following it down. Fire was almost out. We had to go to another room, went around there, and that fire came over us and stuff was falling out of the ceiling. I mean, I felt like, whew. But there was one piece of my equipment I forgot to put on. That was my Nomex hood. Nomex hood covers your neck. Little place in your neck where your turnout coat doesn't cover like that. And I'm spraying that water. And I feel like, you know, the Duke. I mean, I just feel like I'm just the man. And all of a sudden, a piece of a ceiling fan melted and came down and found its way right on the back of my neck. I said, thank you, Lord, for that on my neck. No, I did not. I dropped that hose. I ran out of that house, and I know I screamed like a girl. I could not get my clothes off quick enough to pour water on the back of my neck. Just because I forgot one piece of my equipment, that melting part of that ceiling fan, whatever part it was, found its way in a place less than an inch. That's what Satan's doing. He's looking for that one spot in your life that he can come and steal you away from that daily victory in your life. And you know what Satan does when he gets you? He laughs at you. And he says, well, I can't take away their salvation, but I can take away this daily victory that they think they're going to live in. And he'll get in there and he'll find those spots. Let me ask you tonight. Do you think God wants you to live in victory or he wants you to live in defeat? Well, I believe this. I believe he wants you to live in victory because he gave it to you to live in it. Can I also say this is that we ought to look like we live in victory? The world out there is getting mixed vibes from the Christian society because a lot of us are defeated because things in our life, they defeat us. Let me ask you tonight, where are you living? Are you living in the light of victory? I sure hope so. Yeah, I sure hope that you're living in the light of victory. How's your armor? Check your armor. Make sure you got all it on. Make sure you're abounding in the work of the Lord. Maybe you need to start at the first. Maybe you need assurance of your salvation, living in the place of assurance. I know that I'm saved tonight. Because one day I trusted in Jesus Christ as my Savior. I saw myself as a sinner, and I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior, I put my faith in Him. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It's a gift of God. If you're not sure of that, I know it's Wednesday night, but Miss Riley didn't care that it was Tuesday night or whatever night it was. She wanted to get it settled because that was what she wanted to do. And we rejoice with her. We think about last Wednesday night, 7 of the children in our VBS got saved. Even before that week, Jared Latta got saved. Let's think about, hallelujah, we got a lot of people getting saved. Well, if you're not saved, that's the first step. You need to get saved. But as a Christian, where are you living? Are you defeated tonight? You're just like, preacher, you just don't understand my life. I mean, it's just, hey, listen, give it all to the Lord. I'm not saying that you're going to walk around here and go, whoo, I'm all happy. But I can tell you, you can have joy in your life and peace. Christ said He came to give us peace that passes all understanding. That's why when Jesus talks about death and the resurrection, He says, don't act like the world does, that have no hope, because you have hope. You live in a different realm. You live in the realm of victory. And when somebody who trusts Jesus Christ as their Savior, they die, they're not in the grave with their soul to be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. Tonight, where are you living? Let's stand. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Jesus, come. Caleb, come. Listen. Let's pray. Father, we love You. Thank You for this night. God, I thank You for the place of victory that not only we can live in eternity, but God, every day of our life. Lord, so many times we say this verse, but it is so true that You came to give us life and give it to us more abundantly. Lord, to live in that place of victory and to live in that place that, Lord, You have for us is imperative for the generation coming behind us, Lord, that, God, that they'll see, Lord, the strength and the faith of Your people. And God, desire that. And Father, I pray tonight if there's somebody here, Lord, it just seems like just the devil's just whipping up on them. Or maybe just some things and trials in their life. I pray, God, that You give them victory tonight. I pray that You let them have that peace that passes all understanding. God, give them joy within their heart. God, bless tonight. Lord, this is Your time. This is Your invitation. I ask that You take control of it in Jesus' name. Amen. If you look this way, hymn 351, wherever He leads, I'll follow. Let's sing this song. Take a